Welcome to another edition of Our World. I'm your host, Daryl Davis. Good morning, folks. Thanks for tuning in this early Sunday morning, August 10th. New show, a lot going on. Let's start with Peekskill Dixiecrats, who, like most tyrants, refuse to give up power. For our new listeners, I want to thank folks who go over to DarylDavisRadio.com and who share my link and tell people about us. Grassroots Radio, right here in Westchester and beyond. And, Peekskill. Peekskill is important because it is a battleground. I mean that literally. A political battleground. Progress versus regression, struggle, as in civil rights movement, versus oppression, voters' rights versus constitutional abuses. Those are some of the central issues that Peekskill represents. And by the way, I talk about Peekskill now, not just in on this radio show. It is a case study. You know, similar to other civil rights movements or struggles from history and from around the world, very similar. A lot of the things that took place in Peekskill are frightening for those of us who believe in democracy and a constitution. You know, and so that said, what we accomplished in Peekskill to overthrow. And that's what you do with tyrants. You don't just vote them out. You have to overthrow them because they're entrenched. They break the law. They break the rules. They act like there's no charter, no constitution. And so you have to overthrow them. And you have to organize on many levels, not just at the ballot. And let me explain that. You know, first of all, for our new listeners, former Peekskill Mayor Mary Foster, allegedly a Democrat, but she was not a Democrat. Even when she went to the Democratic Party and asked if she could run, she was not a registered Democrat. She was told she would have to change her registration, and they never should have let her run in the first place. She used the Democratic Party because in Peekskill, Democrats outnumber Republicans pretty heartily. Right now, it's about 3-1 Dems over Republicans. And so she went to the Dems and the Democratic Party never should have let her run. She doesn't represent anything Democratic, absolutely nothing. And we supported her because, you know, in Peekskill, we had just fought back the second wave of attempts to gentrify and to close down public housing in Peekskill. The first two were under Republican administrations. We thought that struggle was done. We were victorious. Democrats controlled City Hall. But we didn't realize that Mary Foster was a wolf in sheep's clothing, that the woman is a bigot, a bully, a liar, and a tyrant. And, you know, for a part-time ceremonial mayor to fire every city manager that worked under her and appoint, quote, acting city managers as she moved into City Hall and worked 12-hour days interacting directly with staff, gross violation of her office, power hungry. And then to use that office not for what was best for the city of Peekskill, but for political vendettas, to put people in their place, destroyed lives. Some people were evicted. Some people lost their jobs under this woman because she didn't like them or she thought that they were political enemies. And that is abuse at the highest of the highest level. And that's who this woman is. You know, and so when I say, you know, so we organized and we exposed who these people were. And Mary Foster and Drew Claxton, owner of the Bean Runner, and Darren Rigger, Charlie Rangel, staffer, and Mike Morey, former Chuck Schumer staffer, now political consultant. All these people, this gang if you will, tried to cheat. You know, they tried to run, they projected their racism on our community. See, when I said that we were fighting racism, I was not talking about racism in the community among the residents. And I've said that before. I was talking about institutional racism. I was talking about racism coming out of City Hall, out of Mary Foster's administration. That's what I was talking about. And that said, though, they tried to project their racism on the Peekskill residents by running racist political campaigns, basically running against me, the angry black man. Although, you know, when I say angry black man, I'm being facetious. That was their attempted creation by having people heckle me at council meetings, by people poking me with canes and umbrellas off camera at council meetings, while the mayor sat up there for the TV audience shrieking, "Mr. Davis, sit down. Mr. Davis, behave yourself. Mr. Davis, you're going to be removed." Trying to project an image that, oh, Darryl Davis is out of control and he's angry and he's a thug. And you know, meanwhile, as that was going on, they were putting out press releases and making phone calls saying, you know, Darryl Davis is helping the other side. He carried petitions to get them a third party line. Flat out lies. You know, so they were trying to prey on racial fears in of Peekskill residents, not knowing that in my hometown, I know that that's not an issue. Now, there is racism to one degree or another in every community in America, but we don't have the issues that they try to fan and play on. And so it backfired. And I knew it was going to backfire, and I played into it. The other problem they ran into is while they were trying to project me as this angry black man, their docile Negro, Reginald Johnson, had a meltdown right on TV where he challenged me to step outside and then rushed me from the podium of a council meeting, causing upheaval. And the police jumped in, and at the same time, on the other side of the room, one of their district leaders, Carol Gersten, smacked my partner Sherry and then sat down and act innocent, and we got put out, Sherry and I, and Mary Foster, the mayor, jumped on this. We're going to crack down on these troublemakers, only to find out later that we have video of her district leader, the woman in charge of organizing the debate between the Dems and the Republicans, jumping up and being violent. So Mary Foster, through her paid PR firm, after laying off, you know, 30 employees and canceling bus rides for the Stajets, an award-winning little girls dance group, to save money. Part-time mayor has a PR firm working for her. Anyway, so they tried to put spin. Well, she's a hero. She stood her ground, you know, invoking the racist Zimmerman defense. And all of it backfired. And again, but these are who these people are. And when I return, I'm going to talk to you about what I mean when I say you have to fight the battle on all fronts. You're listening to Al World.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. I bought a 242 both for me, and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother.
Rap on. We're back, folks. You're listening to Our World. You know, we're talking about this whole issue of tyranny in Peekskill, and I use that word for a reason. It's a word that was given to me by the English language that has a meaning. And tyrants don't believe in the rights of the people. They exist for their own benefit. And when they get voted out, they're not happy about it, if you even have a right to vote. And these people fit that profile, that definition, so accurate that it's frightening. And, you know, so... You know, I said that you have to fight on all fronts. Now, though we won at the ballot, and make no mistake about it, you know, I was watching you know, I watched this movie, Apollo 13. And it's a true story of Apollo 13, which some of you may or may not remember, you know, was scheduled to land on the moon. And they got up in space and there was an explosion. And then the mission became just get the astronauts home safely. And there were all kinds of complications. And I remember watching the movie, and one of the astronauts who was scheduled to go on the mission but couldn't because they thought he was going to get sick, he was called in to work out a sequence of powering up to save enough energy so that they'll have enough oxygen and electricity for the computers to run to get them home. And he broke his butt and kept failing and finally came up with the right sequence. And then their air filters wasn't working. So another group of engineers on Earth had to figure out how to make a air filter out of duct tape and other things that were actually on the lunar module. And the command center had to figure out A, Y, and Z. And so as they got home safe and the movie was ending, I remember thinking, all three of these people went home to their wives and said, honey, they couldn't have done it without me. And the point is that I see that going on in Peekskill with the fall of Mary Foster. You know, everybody's taking credit. I did this or they wouldn't have won. I did this or they wouldn't have won. I did this or they wouldn't have won. And, you know, it was certainly a lot of factors that went into Mary Foster and the Democrats losing. But the fact of the matter is that any one of those factors you take away, she still would have lost. Just would have been a little closer. But if you take away the work of the Committee for Justice and our ally CPARC, Mary Foster would have gotten reelected. And that's power that the powers that be in both political machines, Dems and Republicans, don't want poor people and people of color to know that you have that kind of power. Because in a very simplistic analysis, I had looked at the election results 2 years prior, and I saw that we cut into their support. I saw that we were winning. It was sort of like a race, you know. We almost overtook them 2 years ago. But I knew there were major problems with the campaign against her 2 years ago. Some with the candidate, which I don't need to get into detail. Some with a lack of a get out the vote machine. Some with the candidates not knocking on doors enough. So I saw a lot of stuff that told me that this woman, these people were very beatable, that their only advantage was a 3-to-1 voter registration advantage, which means that quick draw McGraw could run in Peekskill and would probably win just based on the numerical advantage, because in every single community in America, X percent of registered party members vote every year, regardless of who's on the ticket. And so that was always the concern. And so I had calculated that the opposition needed to reach X amount of votes to win, given the fact that they only had about, you know, 2,000 registered Republicans. I don't even think it was that high. I have to look at the numbers again. But I knew that what had to happen was a lot of Dems had to stay home and a lot of Dems had to switch over. And so we geared our strategy for that. And so when they tried to come into District 1 where Bowman Towers is, that was a battlefront. District 1 always goes to the Dems, except when Committee for Justice supports a different candidate. And so District 1, Bowman Towers area, voted against Mary Foster and the Dems. Huge victory. Huge show of strength. I'm going to keep saying it so that we don't forget how powerful we are. We, poor people, people of color, Bowman Towers residents. All right. So that was one front. Another front is public relations, because a lot of people, they read the paper, you know, they watch News 12, and it influences how they vote. And so Mary Foster and the Dems, through this school board member, Colin Smith, set up this fake group, SPARC, which was supposed to be a civil rights organization in Peekskill, very similar to CPARC, our number one allies. They were going to have a
a demonstration for Trayvon Martin. By the way, and then these same Dems turn around and invoke George Zimmerman when Carol Gersten attacked my partner. She stood her ground. So you can see the hypocrisy, how these people are about scamming the voters. You know, so they set up this fake organization, and we pulled back and said, all right, have your Trayvon thing, because some of them were assuring me, no, it's not a front for the Democratic Party. Mary Foster's not speaking. See, I knew that they needed PR in the black community, and that they wanted to set up these Trayvon Martin and, you know, we're for black people BS and have Mary Foster and the other Dems come as guest speakers. I saw it right away. Even though Mary Foster is the smartest person in every room, I kind of know what I'm doing. And so I saw right through it. And so when they tried to have a second event, a march on Washington Street in Peekskill, we crashed the party. We took over the march. We exposed it. We talked to the press. No more free PR. No more damage control for these racist Democrats. So that was another front, PR. And so Mary Foster, you know, if you're doing your job, it speaks for itself. When you're hiring a PR person to put spin on things, you know you're fake. You know you're trying to dupe the community. And so that was another front that we had to fight on and win. And then, of course, the third front, election night, it's important to get the vote out. And the Dems bribe little kids and some adults to go knock on doors. They give them money that's not registered with the Board of Elections. All candidates do it. Street money, you know. And they send these kids into Bowman. And so I told the kids this time, I said, take the money and go to McDonald's. And, you know, so we didn't allow them to come into our community and suggest that we vote for them. And, you know, so there were several fronts that we fought on and beat them on every single front. And those things had to happen, you know, and it was calculated. Keep some Dems from coming out who just would refuse to vote for a Republican. And others who say, hey, you know, it ain't about Dems and Republicans, it's about right and wrong. I'm crossing over. And then we had the third party line, the independents line. A lot of those folks I registered personally over the years, thinking it was independent, you know, independents with a T. Doesn't matter. It's a third party. And they voted against Mary Foster. And that was it. I mean, that was what it took. That's what we did. We did it successfully. And we, more than anybody, got the astronauts home, i.e., topple the Foster administration. Hey, time for another break, folks. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to Our World on Real Country. People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. You're just joining us. You're listening to Our World on Real Country. And I know this really don't sound like country music to y'all. I do know some country songs, but I don't think you'll come back if I sing any of them. That said, thanks for getting up. And please do go over to the Darryl Davis program. I'm sorry, DarrylDavisRadio.com, my website, where you can find this program on podcast and past programs, and also articles and documents, a lot coming from the struggle in Peekskill, eyewitness testimony of corruption and abuse that Peekskill Mayor Mary Foster, former mayor, tried to protect and hide, and then tried to turn it around and make Brother Davis this black boogeyman. And the people that I grew up with in Peekskill said, hey, this guy fed my kids, saved my housing, took my kids off the street, mediated fights between kids in our community, bought big name rap stars here and only charges $5, you know, so that we can come in, and didn't charge people who didn't have money, gave tickets free to the homeless shelter, Jan Peekhouse, a counselor there, a staff person, not even a director,
just called the Paramount and said, you know, I got people here, homeless, who really want to come and see this concert. And the Paramount called me, and I said, give me her number. Her name was Karen. I called her. I said, hey, Karen, Darryl Davis, what do you need? Oh, I want to bring about 20 people. They'll be at the box office. Now, these are the things that I don't brag about. And you're hearing this for the first time, because it's second nature to me, because I have compassion. I care about people, you know. And so when you got 30 years of that kind of behavior, and then these implants like Mary Foster and McGowan and all of these other phonies come into Peekskill talking about Darryl Davis is the boogeyman. This is why you're ex this and ex that now, ex mayor, ex council person, you know. And so, you know, and then when I see, you know, again, the deceit, mind you, the violence that went on at the city council meeting that finally made the news, that went on for a couple of years. I was bum rushed by police two or three times for defending myself. For Mary, and by the way, I wrote to the attorney general and said, hey, I'm really concerned. Democratic district leaders are coming to council meetings, sitting behind me, smacking me, poking me with umbrellas and canes off camera. The mayor is on TV at the council meeting saying, Mr. Davis, be quiet, Mr. Davis. And I feel like I'm being set up. And then the police come and arrest me, kick me out the meeting, and stand on the steps without charging me and just tell me I can't come back in the meeting. I'm concerned. And then fast forward a few months later, we catch them doing it on camera. That's disgraceful. And why would you vote for that? Why would you vote for anybody who feels a need to deceive the voters? Do you know how much evil energy it takes to orchestrate that kind of thing? We're going to district leaders come to the meeting, sit behind Davis and poke him and call him names and heckle him from the podium, you know, turn him into this boogeyman, and then we're going to move on him. You know what kind of evil energy that takes to dupe the voters into thinking that I'm the problem, not the fact that they ran through millions of dollars in reserve money, not the fact that they laid people off, not the fact that they defended a person accused of sexual harassment who lost lawsuits, whose own bookkeeper testified that he was given no bid contracts, laid off all these people unnecessarily, giving lie detector tests to their own employees who didn't commit crimes just to see if someone's talking to the media. Canceled the annual senior citizens picnic. Destroyed, canceled Peekskill celebration. No, they can't get elected on that. They need a boogeyman and a PR person. And so you would really trust that group and vote for that group? And then we find out after they're voted out that the money's not right, that Peekskill's on the verge of bankruptcy. Now they want to bond $1 million to pay their bills because they didn't budget right and they mismanaged and they wasted millions on consultants and lawyers that they never should have spent. No, they can't run on that record. They need to deceive you. They need to lie to you. They need to bully voices of opposition. They need to use the police to intimidate. They need to use the housing authority to evict anyone who spoke up. And that's what we defeated in Peekskill, this cancer. That's what we defeated. It was ugly. It was grueling. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to talk a little bit about tactics and strategy. See, because this was never, you know, despite Councilwoman Kathy Talbert saying, Darryl Davis, you're just doing this because you want to be on TV. I just want to say to Councilwoman Kathy Talbert that before there was a News 12, before Gannett brought Lohud into Peekskill, before the Peekskill Council meetings were being televised on cable TV, Darryl Davis had already had a 5 or 6 year career as an activist, attending city council meetings, speaking up for the community, none of it making the news. That was never my motivation, but I can't speak for other people.
I did it because I have compassion. I did it because the community asked me to do it. I did it because it's the right thing to do. I did it because I'm spiritual. I did it because I believe in democracy. I did it because I hate bullies. I did it because I hate oppression. And no other reason. You know, whether a TV camera is there or not. I mean, that's just petty. Don't project your failings onto me. I can live without it. I mean, anybody who knows me knows that I'm very, very, very private. That in some ways, I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm kind of shy. I get embarrassed when people run up to me and shake my hand and I just want to meet you. And, you know, we were at some festival last year and a gentleman ran up to me. Mr. Davis, I knew you were going to be here because your girls are dancing and I just wanted to come and shake your hand. And I get that everywhere I go, everywhere. And it embarrasses me sometimes. It's in Yorktown at the park out there, and it happens all the time. So I don't feed on that. I can certainly live without it. You know, it's very difficult when I'm with my family, and especially my oldest daughter who grew up with it, when, you know, just relaxing, or I come to pick them up and people run up to the car and I need to talk to you. It's difficult. And I'm not complaining or belly aching. I'm just saying that it's difficult. And you know, unlike the opportunist people who just do things to get their name in the paper so they can run for office and leave the community behind, I don't have any of those motivations. I thought I was retired as far as being a community activist until these tyrants took over City Hall and Peekskill. You know, so that said, I'm going to, when we come back, I'm going to talk about tactics and strategy. Why we did what we did, and why we were victorious, and why you can be victorious also in your community. Public housing is under attack throughout America. Yes, even under President Obama. And we got to stand up, and Peekskill shows that we can win. And more after this. You're listening to Our World on Real Country. People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Our World and Real Country, and you know, tactics and strategy. You know, I have a book coming out. It's tentatively scheduled to be released this fall, somewhere around October, September, October, November-ish. Go to my new website, ghostofrobeson.com, which I'm proud to say I built myself from scratch. And for those of you who don't know, I am also an internet marketer. And so I build websites. And so I built this website, Ghost of Robeson, which is the website for my upcoming book by the same title, Ghost of Robeson. The title comes from the fact that Mary Foster and Drew Claxton and the Foster Democrats represent the ugliest political forces in Peekskill's history since Paul Robeson came to town. And I don't say that lightly because, you know, even though I was arrested under Foster, I was illegally banned twice under Foster. I was arrested prior under Republican administrations and put on trial for talking at council meetings. And I am still telling you that the Foster Democrats are the worst, the ugliest political elements in the history of Peekskill since Paul Robeson came to town in 1949 to give free concert against the war. And Peekskill's good old boys got violent with the concert goers, and it made world news. And a lot of ugly rhetoric, you know. And Pete Seeger, you know, sadly, just 7 months before his death, spoke at a fundraiser for us in Peekskill. Pete and I have been friends for quite a long time. When I was put on trial back in 2000, I believe, arrested for talking about the Kiley Center programs for kids in our community. And a Republican said, you can only talk about what we put on the agenda. And I said, I'm not cooperating with that. And so I was arrested. And I was arrested 2 weeks later at the next council meeting, grabbed out of my seat. They almost ripped my shirt off. It's all on. It was shown on News 12. And actually, News 12, and I think Channel 4 also. Channel 4 actually ran that as a lead story. Meet the man who got arrested for talking. And so Pete Seeger came to my trial for those two arrests. He said it was free speech. And by the way, I didn't know he was coming. And I can't tell you how inspiring it was, because I knew I was going into a kangaroo court. I knew I was going to be hung. You know, and so it was inspiring to see him just pull up unannounced, walking to the court with me. You know, not so inspiring for him to sit there and see me be found guilty, despite the fact that I didn't commit a crime. But throughout all of that, the Foster gang is the worst political group in Peekskill's history. And so that's the title. Ghost of Robeson came from Paul Robeson, who's an inspiration to me, who was virtually erased from the history books, but a true Renaissance man, African American. A lot of people called him the tallest tree in the forest, tall, booming voice, star of stage, screen, world famous concert singer. You probably heard him sing Old Man River with that deep baritone voice. Starred in Sanders of the River, Showboats, the original version, The Emperor Jones, his performance of Othello on stage, many people call the greatest ever, even greater than Orson Welles and others, actor, singer, but one of the first pro football players. Graduated valedictorian Rutgers University, law degree, scholar. So there you have it. Scholar, athlete, movie star, concert singer. But spoke out against racism, spoke out against the war, was crucified. Passport taken from him, records taken off the shelves, was not allowed to make a living. Paul Robeson, one of the greatest human beings to walk this country, maybe the world. And you don't know about him because he spoke out against racism. You can see his writings. You can find his writings. You can get some recordings. You can still get movies that he starred in. And he came to give a free concert in our area, Peekskill, and they wanted to kill him. He luckily got turned around at the Peekskill train station and avoided the violence. And so this book is called Ghost of Robeson. And the other reason I wrote it was because I wanted people to share the struggle with us from the inside. Make no mistake about it, this was a difficult struggle. I mean, for me to see my family retaliated against and attacked, illegal eviction proceedings, violence against my girlfriend, forum attacks on my kids, you know, and then to have them see me called a monkey, and very difficult for me to be targeted, for them to sic law enforcement on me, for them to get violent, attack me, try to bait me so the police could jump on me and arrest me and bring in some of the most brutal police officers that they know hate me into council meetings to try to, you know, hopefully spark something so that I could be brutalized. It's very difficult. We had to be wise. We had to be smart. We had to be tactical. We had to be very, very disciplined. And so every single thing we did, despite the fact that it looked like things were out of control, they really weren't. Not on my end. We played them like a fiddle. And the proof of it is the fact that their docile Negro, Reginald Johnson, who
because he got violent or promoted violence, challenged me to step outside on television and settle our differences, was made a judge, even though he's not qualified to be a judge. That was his payoff for being a docile Negro, supporting Massa. And it backfired because he turned out to be the violent one, the crazy one, the out of control one. And it backfired because we played them like a fiddle. See, I know that if you raise the tension, if you raise the heat in the room, they crack. I won't. Aha. Aha. Under pressure, under stress, I know that they will crack and I won't. When Mary Foster gets up there and says stupid things, she cracks under the pressure and I don't. And when I engage them, and they got smart, they decided, you know what? They were told, don't debate Daryl. Just sit there and don't say anything. And even then, they were playing into our hands and didn't know it. Because you know why they didn't know it? Because Mary Foster is the smartest person in every room. And so that's why we raised the tension. King had a word for it. It escapes me now. Creative tension or something. He had a word for it. But I knew that these people would crack. And we would not. Because we were disciplined and we were playing them like a fiddle. Now, there was certain risk, especially for me being out front and being the target. But, you know, if you're not willing to take risk, I promise you, you won't accomplish much in life. Hey, time for another break, folks. You listen to Our World on Real Country back after this.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Welcome back. You're listening to Our World. This is August 10th, and if you're listening live, you're up very early. Appreciate that. Please tell your friends and family about us. Whether you like me, hate me, I don't really care. But it's important that we have these conversations. And also, ghostofrobeson.com is live. If you're interested in the book, go over to ghostofrobeson.com. ghostofrobeson.com and join my email list. Just put your email address in the box that's on the upper right hand side, and I will send you updates on the book. I will send you excerpts. I will send you documents that testimony from the former bookkeeper of the Peekskill Housing Authority, where she alleges sexual discrimination. She alleges other things too ugly to talk about here. She alleges laws being broken involving the city of Peekskill. She alleges no bid contracts and other things. So please get on my email list. I will keep you apprised. Release date of the book, Ghost of Robeson, as I said, is a story of our victory over the most ugly political forces in Peekskill history since Robeson came to town. Tactics, strategy, doubts, fears, all of it is in there. But more importantly, how other communities can get organized and destroy the myth that you can't beat City Hall. Now, in terms of tactics and strategy, let me just say right out the gate, you know, and you know, when you're there are two of the most difficult struggles. Two of the most difficult now are fighting your landlord and fighting your employer. Two most difficult. Now, when we have marches and demonstrations against police brutality, you know, when we're saving the whales, you know, fighting against testing of animals, you know, all important issues, obviously, I've engaged in all of them. There's not much retaliation to worry about, you know, but when your landlord is the problem, people are afraid that if they lose, they will be evicted. When you go to your job and you have an abusive boss, you take it.
virtually everybody takes it because they're afraid to lose their job. They're afraid of more retaliation. These are realities. And so the most difficult struggles to engage in are against your landlord and your employer. Again, if you're marching to stop the war in Afghanistan, a lot of people will come out easily, you know. So when we got engaged in this struggle in Peekskill, when I was asked by the residents of public housing and when I was asked by employees of the city of Peekskill to stand up for their rights, I knew going in that we were going to have to tailor our tactics and strategy around smaller groups of supporters. Because I knew to ask housing residents to come out would put them in danger. I knew that to ask city employees to come out would put them in danger. And so Mary Foster, being the smartest woman, the smartest person in every single room, people say that she's intelligent. And I say, no, she's not. She's actually stupid. But she is clever, which is different from being intelligent. She's very clever. So she knew that it would be difficult to get employees to come out. Why? Because the first couple of employees who spoke up that came to me, she asked for their names. She says, well, we can't do anything if we don't know their names. I said, I'd rather not give names. I gave two names. The very next, within a week, both of these men were retaliated against. And the retaliation continued during the duration of this struggle. And it told the other employees, sit down and shut up or you're next. When housing residents, women, complained that they were being sexually harassed, and when they came to council meetings to complain, they were retaliated against. One was given an eviction notice, even though she wasn't in danger of eviction. There was no cause for eviction. Another was who did work for the housing authority, part-time work, was given a notice that your lease will not be renewed and that you no longer work for us. I.e., you housing authority residents, shut up and sit down. And so I knew that we were going to have to get allies. Just like in the 50s and 60s, the people who fought the civil rights movement, for the most part, the leadership did not live in those communities. And that took them out of being the danger of retaliation, although it was still there. Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner and others lynched, you know, brutalized. Danger is still there. Darryl Davis, you know, arrested, police custody. Sued, bought it, dragged into federal court, because that's what tyrants do. But Mary Foster, who's not intelligent at all, but is clever, said, okay, well, we're going to just claim that this is just a small vocal group of outsiders. See, this is her being clever. She knew that the employees weren't going to come out. And that the housing residents weren't going to come out. Although eventually they all did. Why? Because we organized them. Because we showed them that they had power. You know, when we fought back the retaliation and won in court, thanks to the work of our attorney, Jeffrey Smith, it emboldened housing residents. And there were times we had standing room only in those council meetings. We had housing residents going to the podium, resident after resident after resident. And that's when the dam busted open. That's when it was all downhill from Mary Foster's attempt to save Harold Phipps, the former housing director, give him enough time to dismantle public housing and prove that she wasn't the smartest person in every room, but she was devious and clever. And so we got outside allies, CPARC, our white anti-racist brothers and sisters who came to virtually every meeting. They had representation there, stood with the residents, spoke up for us and with us. And so that was a tactical decision. And Foster hated it. You know, she hated it. Or just a small group of outsiders. And she ordered the people who've televised the council meetings no longer pan the crowd. Keep the cameras up front on the mayor and council. Why? Because he didn't want the home audience to see that we had rows of supporters. Rows of supporters. She wanted to keep the myth alive.
They're just a small group, vocal group.
No, we had rows of supporters. And again, that was her being deceitful to the public. And we crashed through that because we were smarter. We were tactical. We held strategy sessions. We discussed the best way to handle this situation. And that's why she's the ex-mayor. Why? Because she's clever, not intelligent. Now, again, I want to remind folks, go to ghostofrobeson.com, sign up for my email list. Just put your email in the box, and I'll start sending you information. And please ask other people to do the same. And take the link, you know, share the articles on Facebook, tweet it. Help get the word out. And especially if you live in public housing or you believe in democracy, you'll definitely want to support this effort. All right, folks, I'm going to go to another break as we start to wind down this edition of Our World on Real Country.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Our World. I'm your host, Darryl Davis, on Real Country. And folks, you know, I just want to, first of all, ghostofrobeson.com is a new website. And I'm just amazed that the people were signing up. You know, I can track where my audience is. I'm very surprised I have such a interest in my book in Brazil. I knew the UK because my good friend Will Kaufman is there, and Woody Guthrie, musician, sings his music, keeps Woody's legacy alive, and he's mentioned my book on Facebook, and in fact is in the book. He don't know that, ha! But you know, so the interest around the world is kind of humbling to me. I set up a Facebook page, Ghost of Robeson, and, you know, within a few weeks, got over 100 people liking the page. And I'm not really promoting it real hard right now. We're actually in the pre-launch stages, you know, of this book. And I just put it out there, and I'm going to ask everyone who's an anti-racist, who's a civil rights worker, who loves Pete Seeger and Paul Robeson. Seeger's in the book on ghostofrobeson.com. There's a video of Pete at a fundraiser for us in Peekskill about 8 months ago now, 8 or 9 months ago, shortly before his death. And by the way, Pete came shortly after his wife, Toshi, died, and it was a touchy situation. I didn't want to call and say, hey, you still coming? But we had already advertised it, and people were asking me. And one of the reasons, you know, Toshi, by the way, was a amazing person, equally a great activist as Pete. And I know he was devastated. I mean, they were just so close. I knew he was devastated. And I was prepared that, you know, for him not to come, and obviously would have understood that. But I knew that Will Kaufman could carry this fundraiser. I knew that. You know, and so when his daughter called me, another good friend, we talked about it, and you know, Pete was there, and despite the fact that he wasn't scheduled to perform, bought his banjo, you know. But anyway, you know, so I'm just thanking people. Thank you for your interest. I'm asking for your help, though. Help promote this book. It is certainly a civil rights book. I haven't seen one. It's certainly nothing like this in years. It is a strategic book on how other communities can organize.
Everything will be there. Victories, mistakes, painful moments. Go to ghostofrobeson.com and join my email list and like the articles on Facebook and tweet them and help grow this movement, because we certainly need it more than ever in America. Now, just to wind down, in Peekskill, Mary Foster is positioning herself to run again. This is a woman who almost bankrupted Peekskill, who became a bully and a tyrant, forgot there was a constitution, forgot there was a city charter, and destroyed the Democratic Party. And so that makes her a big fish in a small pond. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, if the Democratic Party was intact, they would just, Peekskill Dems would just say, nah, it's time to turn the page. And they tried that. Some Dems did. But Mary and Drew Claxton and Mary Beth McGowan said, nah, we got a 4-3 majority in the council. We're going to still continue to run things our way. And so a lot of people, instead of staying and fighting for the soul of the Democratic Party in Peekskill, quit. So now it's just her and a clique of people. But Mary Foster lent herself about $30,000 last year to run for office because they can't raise money anymore. Everybody quit. Everybody got turned off. And so she's living by the golden rule. He or she who has the goal makes the rules. So she's a bully, even within the Democratic Party. And she gets support by buying support. Reggie Johnson, you know, remember, at first he was going to run for city council. And then it was in the paper. Oh, and then he decides, I can't run. It's a conflict. I'm afraid I might get retaliated against because I work for the county. So you mean to tell me that Reginald Johnson is the most qualified person to run for city council and the most qualified to be a judge? No. Patronage, payoff for being their house Negro, for being the one to come to the council meeting and verbally abuse Darryl Davis in violation of all of Mary Foster's rules of decorum. In violation. And so I would say, excuse me, Mayor, point of order. He's violating your rules again. Just be quiet. You're out of order. You're violating my rules. This is what we dealt with. And so they paid this Negro off. And you know, And that's, we have to be mindful of their racism, that they always want a black person to do their dirty work. Nancy Van, chairwoman of the Peekskill Housing Authority. Big story in Lowhut about how the housing authority collapsed despite the Committee for Justice of Seapark jumping up and down at council meetings for 3 years saying there's not going to be anything left at the housing authority if you don't get rid of this man that you support, Mary Foster and Democrats. Nancy Van's on the housing board, tried to write a letter in defense and says, how can this be racism? Mr. Phipps is black. You know, when people do that, they're so, you know, it's like they're so racist that they don't even see it. Racism always gets a collaborator. This isn't unique to black people. Jews did it. Jews sold out their own brothers. Slaves did it. You know, Africans sold out their own African brothers and sisters into slavery. Native Americans did it. The Irish did it. The Italians did it. Every single group, every single oppressor identifies traitors. All right? So when Nancy Van says, how can this be racial? The worst kind of racism. You know how you can tell it's racism? The only thing that matters is the group that profits, the group in charge, the group in control. And it happens to be white people oppressing black people with a buffer in between of the oppressed group. It always works like that everywhere. You know, so when you say, how can this be racial? Reginald Johnson is against Darryl Davis. Therefore, he's not a real Negro leader. I mean, black leader. These people stink so bad they can't smell it on them anymore. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we defeated. And these,
I'm a taxpayer. Why should I have to listen to Darryl Davis?
Had you listened, about $2 million of your tax money would still be in your pocket. Wouldn't have been squandered, wasted. They wouldn't have to raise fees and services and taxes. But now you know. Anyway, folks, we're out of time. That's it. You've been listening to Our World on Real Country.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. Teacher.